today is the 17th day of March. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is fantastic, of course, as always, to be here with you today. Once again, standing here, looking out over the rolling hills of Tennessee. My heart is full of gratitude and gratefulness that we have this place to be together. A place, an oasis, a safe place for our hearts to open, and the cares of this life to diminish, and just let the Bible come and be a counselor to us. I love that we have this place. I'm grateful for us each to be able to take this next step forward. And that next step will lead us back into the book of Numbers. Today we'll read chapter 26, verses 1 through 51. After the plague, the Lord said to Moses and Eleazar, son of the priest Aaron, take a census of the whole community of Israel by households. List those who are at least 20 years old and eligible for military duty. So Moses and the priest Eleazar spoke to the Israelites on the plains of Moab near the Jordan River across from Jericho. They said, take a census of those at least 20 years old, as the Lord commanded Moses. These are the Israelites who came from Egypt. Reuben was Israel's firstborn. The descendants of Reuben were the family of Hanok, the family of Palu, the family of Hezron, and the family of Carmi. These were the families of Reuben. The total number of men was 43,730. Eliab was the son of Palu, and Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram were the sons of Eliab. It was Dathan and Abiram, men chosen by the community, who defied Moses and Aaron's authority. They joined Korah's followers when they defied the Lord's authority. The ground opened up and swallowed them along with Korah. They and their followers died when the fire consumed the 250 men. This was a warning. But the descendants of Korah didn't die. The families descended from Simeon were the family of Nemuel, the family of Jamin, the family of Jachin, the family of Zerah, and the family of Shaul. These were the families of Simeon. The total number of men was 22,200. The families descended from Gad were the family of Zaphon, the family of Haggi, the family of Shuni, the family of Ozni, the family of Eri, the family of Arodi, and the family of Areli. These were the families of Gad's descendants. The total number of men was 40,500. And Onan were sons of Judah, but they died in Canaan. The families descended from Judah were the family of Shelah, the family of Perez, and the family of Zerah. The descendants of Perez were the family of Hezron and the family of Hamul. These were the families of Judah. The total number of men was 76,500. The families descended from Issachar were the family of Tola, the family of Pua, the family of Jashub, and the family of Shimron. These were the families of Issachar. The total number of men was 64,300. The families descended from Zebulun were the family of Sered, the family of Elon, and the family of Jalil. These were the families of Zebulun. The total number of men was 60,500. The families descended from Joseph through Manasseh and Ephraim were from Manasseh, the family of Machir. Machir was the father of Gilead and the family of Gilead. The descendants of Gilead were the family of Lazer, the family of Helek, the family of Azriel, the family of Shechem, the family of Shemaida, and the family of Hefer. Zelophehad, son of Hefer, had no sons, only daughters. Their names were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. These were the families of Manasseh. The total number of men was 52,700. The families descended from Ephraim were the family of Shutelah, the family of Becher, and the family of Tehan. The descendants of Shutelah were the family of Iran. These were the families of Ephraim's descendants. The total number of men was 32,500. These were the families descended from Joseph. The families descended from Benjamin were the family of Bela, the family of Ashbel, the family of Ahiram, the family of Shufam, and the family of Hufam. The descendants of Bela, through Ard and Naaman, were the family of Ard and the family of Naaman. These were the families descended from Benjamin. The total number of men was 45,600. The family descended from Dan was the family of Shuam. This was the family descended from Dan. The total number of men in all the family of Shuam was 64,400. The families descended from Asher were the family of Imnah, the family of Ishvi, and the family of Beriah. The descendants of Beriah were the family of Heber and the family of Malkiel. Asher had a daughter named Sirah. These were the family of Asher's descendants. The total number of men was 53,400. The families descended from Naphtali were the family of Jaziel, the family of Guni, the family of Jazer, and the family of Shalem. These were the families of Naphtali. The total number of men was 45,400. The total number of Israelite men was 601,730. Luke 2:36-52. Anna, a prophet, was also there. She was a descendant of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was now very old. Her husband had died 7 years after they were married, and she had been a widow for 84 years. Anna never left the temple courtyard, but worshipped day and night by fasting and praying. At that moment, she came up to Mary and Joseph and began to thank God. She spoke about Jesus to all who were waiting for Jerusalem to be set free. After doing everything the Lord's teachings required, Joseph and Mary returned to their hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. Every year, Jesus' parents would go to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went as usual. When the festival was over, they left for home. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. They thought that he was with the others who were traveling with them. After traveling for a day, they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. 3 days later, they found him in the temple courtyard. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. His understanding and his answers stunned everyone who heard him. When his parents saw him, they were shocked. His mother asked him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been worried sick looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you realize that I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and maturity. He gained favor from God and people. Psalm 60. for the choir director, according to Shushan Idud, a miktam by David for teaching. When David fought Aram Naharaim and Aram Zobah, and when Joab came back and killed 12,000 men from Edom in the Dead Sea region. Oh God, you have rejected us. You have broken down our defenses. You have been angry. Restore us. You made the land quake. You split it wide open. Heal the cracks in it because it is falling apart. You have made your people experience hardships. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. Yet you have raised a flag for those who fear you so that they can rally to it when attacked by bows and arrows. Selah, save us with your powerful hand and answer us so that those who are dear to you may be rescued. God has promised the following through his holiness. I will triumph. I will divide Shechem. I will measure the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is the helmet on my head. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washtub. I will throw my shoe over Edom. I will shout in triumph over Philistia. Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Isn't it you, O God, who rejected us? Isn't it you, O God, who refused to accompany our armies? Give us help against the enemy, because human assistance is worthless. With God, we will display great strength. He will trample our enemies. Proverbs 11:15. Whoever guarantees a stranger's loan will get into trouble, but whoever hates the closing of a deal remains secure. Okay, so interestingly enough, in the Gospel of Luke today, we read like one of the only references to Jesus' boyhood that there is. But this scene that we read about gives an incredible amount of context for Jesus' life as he grows up and becomes an adult. So according to Luke, Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, they're devout. Every year they make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for Passover. So if they're living in Nazareth area, that's a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's 90 miles like as the crow flies, but as they would have had to walk significantly eastward and then down into the Jordan Valley, coming out of the hills and going down to the lowest point on earth, by then turning south and coming to the Dead Sea in Jericho, and then turning west and climbing up to Jerusalem. That's a pilgrimage. That's an investment of time. And this is what they did. They were devout. Jesus is 12 years old at the time of this scene. He had made this journey. He understood and had been in the holy city. He'd been there many times. Like, he had already been there many times. Jerusalem is not an unfamiliar place to Jesus. So this time, he stays back. And once everybody, basically probably is heading back to Jericho, and they get all the way down, that's a downhill, and they realize Jesus is not there, then they got to turn around and climb all the way back uphill to go find him. Mary and Joseph, they lived communally. So we can look at it and go like, what kind of irresponsible parent goes a whole day and doesn't know their kid's missing, but they live communally. And so there's families and friends and they're traveling in a caravan. And that's a very important stretch of road to travel together in a caravan because it's dangerous. And so, you know, running around with the cousins, hanging out with the friends, like the kids are going to kind of stick together. The adults are going to kind of stick together and they're all going to be in this caravan. So it's easy enough for them to not have realized he's missing until he's missing. At that point, you can only then imagine the panic of the couple when they realize Jesus is nowhere to be found. I mean, when I think about that'd be overwhelming for any parent. I remember one time, China was missing. She's just little, like three maybe, and she's missing. And where, how did she get out of the house? Like, where is she? And we're out of the house, and we're in the backyard, we're in the front yard, we're in the neighbor's yards, we're down the street, we're freaking out. And then we're all over the house and calling and calling and calling, and where is she? And freaking out until, like, somehow, for whatever reason, she's under the dining room table sleeping. And the relief, but the panic. So you can only imagine the panic of Mary and Joseph. They didn't just lose their son, they lost the Son of God. So they rush back to Jerusalem, a hard climb, searching for Jesus. 3 days. Can you imagine those days of emotional agony? I mean, gosh, the dread of that. Imagining what happened to him. Like, where is he? Jerusalem is such a big city of pilgrimage. People are in and out from all over the known world. Who has him? He could be anywhere in the world now. Like, where is he? Finally, they find him in the temple. Maybe they went there to pray. Maybe that was the last-ditch effort. We don't know. But he's there in the temple among the religious leaders and the thinkers of the day. The elites, the important people, and that's important to know. Jesus is there among the teachers, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of religious law at a very, very early age. He's talking to them. They are stunned by him. Jesus amazes them. They're not going to forget him. He's going to grow up and they're going to remember who this is. He didn't just amaze them, though. He amazed his parents, but for totally different reasons. So, of course, his mother speaks like, "Why did you do this to us?" You can only imagine how she says this. "We've been looking for you for everywhere." And Jesus' response is famous. "Why did you need to search? I had to be in my father's house." But this is the point that Jesus blips on the radar of the religious establishment that would one day sentence him to death. So let's realize that before the confrontations, before the antagonism, before any of that, the religious leaders were not against Jesus. They were amazed by him. And as we read the Gospels, we see that they were not always against him. They traveled to hear him, and they asked deep, penetrating questions of him long before they opposed him. It's only when he began to fly in the face of tradition that things start to turn sour. So you can only imagine them listening to him teach in the early days and go, "That's the kid who was in the temple." But ultimately, thwarting tradition made him a threat, a perceived danger. Because Jesus was kind of tearing down the traditions that caused control and veiled what was going on in the heart. He was exposing these things. So as we continue watching Jesus' ministry unfold in the Gospel of Luke, man, let's examine our own faith journey. Are we learning here because we're trying to figure out the formula, the rules, the recipe? Or are we watching this person and falling in love? Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, lead us into all truth. Why are we here? Is it to avoid something? Is it for existential reasons? Do we believe, but we need you more than we love you? Holy Spirit, may we be like those, as we read the Gospel of Luke, like those who heard Jesus, and put ourselves in these positions and examine our hearts as you transform our hearts. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base. It is the app. One's in the app store, one's on the web. Check it out. Get connected. Be connected. Stay connected. And while you're checking things out, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there, fun things there, things to take us deeper in conversations there. And check out like the Daily Audio Bible logo hats. I love when I see these out in the wild. These nice leather patched hats with the Daily Audio Bible logo. Like, I love running into people randomly or just anywhere wearing them. That's so cool. And they're so cool. So check them out. Or like the Daily Audio Bible journal. Man, that, we're like on the 3.0 version of that over time, just really perfecting the right size that can be taken along wherever we're going, the right paper that really holds graphite for pencils or ink for pens really, really well. And just is really protected. I have filled so many of those journaling. And we built that for that reason, because remembering is so important. It is such a principle in the scriptures to not forget where we came from, to not forget how we got here. And man, we forget so much. We forget more than we remember, but to just kind of chronicle highs and lows, even, or different events in life, just journal our way to keep the story. Not only is that emotionally healthy and emotionally regulating, because it helps us to get it out of us, but it helps us to remember. Check out the Blackwing pencils. Like, that is a long story, but the short version of it is, that's coming up on 10 years next year that my mom has been gone. But she was a part of this community. And like, my dad had died before this ever began, but my mom was a part of this community. And when she was kind of on her last season, it was very traumatic. It was very, very difficult. She, I don't want to get into all that. It was just not good. It was very, very hard the way that she transitioned into eternity. And so there were times, because it was a 7 day a week kind of process, and there were times that I'm just looking for beauty anywhere, something to recharge. And Jill and I were like out in this little place called Leaper's Fork, this little tiny community near Nashville, and those galleries out there, it's just a cool little burg. And I'm just in this gallery, and that's where I encounter Blackwing pencils. I mean, pencils are antiquated. I hadn't written with a pencil since grade school, but they just had these really cool erasers, and I just looked at them and I was like, wow, these are really cool. And then I started holding it and I was like, man, this is really cool. And writing with it, and realized, oh man, they're bringing back this lost art before word processors, before you just thumb things on your phone to try to take notes. They're bringing back this lost art, and I got into it and realized, oh, this is massive tradition to these Blackwing pencils, and some of the greatest authors used these, and greatest minds used these. They were legendary before I was ever born. And so I bought this box of pencils and never stopped again. The act of sharpening a pencil, a really good pencil with really good wood and really good graphite, a really good pencil, and putting pencil to paper, there is something cathartic about that, but there's something like therapeutic to engage your body and use your mind and your body to write words down in your own hand. In your own handwriting, as atrocious as it might be, and I'm in that camp, but writing it down and getting it out of your heart, through your mind, down your arm, to your fingers, onto paper. There's something to that. And in a therapeutic way, and in a way of remembering. And so all that, like the writing bundle and all that stuff, is in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. So maybe check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you deeply, profoundly, humbly. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. Thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Dabbers. Today is March 11th. I'm Sheila from Jersey. And I want to thank you, all of you, for all the love and support that you share with one another. Please pray for my nephew, Nathan. He has cancer. He started his first treatment on his birthday, March 9th. Pray for his wife, who is supporting him through this process, and that they will lean more into Christ, that they'll find salvation, and that this trial that they're going through will soon be a testimony that they can share with others. I thank you, and I love all of you. Have a great, well, here's evening. Have a great evening.
Hello, this is Mountain Girl from New Mexico, and I would like to pray for Marjorie from New Mexico. Father, I lift up Marjorie, and I pray for her heart. I pray that you would meet her where she is and heal her heart regarding her father, who is incarcerated. And Lord, I pray that you would be her everything, her comfort, her peace, her joy. And that even through these hard days, Lord, that she would grow to love you more, that she would trust you, Father, that she would know your faithfulness. And I just lift her up to you, Lord. You know the details far more than I do. And you know the whole story that you are continuing and completing in her life, even more than she does. And I just pray that through this hard time that Marjorie would love you more and know you more, and that she would know that even through this time of fire that you are right there with her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, dear B fam. This is Chantal from England. I wanted to raise up a prayer for my cousin who had a slip over the weekend and cut her head. And since this incident happened, has been in and out of the hospital, going for MRI scans, as she has been feeling unwell. Just praying that there would be quick recovery, that anything that was lost will be regained, and ultimately that she would also come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and give her life to him, so that she may be born again and know true peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Eddie C. I was in South Carolina, but now I'm back in South Florida. I need prayer because I'm starting to start a new life in South Florida, back home, and I'm fearing because it's hard for me to get a job because of my background. It's been a year and 2 months since I've been out of prison, and it's been a struggle. I'm living in a sober living house right now. And I need all you prayer warriors to please lift me up so I could find a good, decent career job. And also to pray for my best friend's business to blow up and grow so maybe I could work with him. I'm struggling mentally right now because I'm just fearing to be homeless or lose, you know, since I lost everything. So My faith is very, very small. It's fading. I'm losing hope, but I believe in the Lord, so I'm just trying my best to stay focused that His timing is perfect. So I'm asking you guys to please lift me up. I've been struggling my whole life. I'm 48, and it's been rough. And I just want to have a place to call home and a job that I could retire from, and I just want to stay strong. I want my relationship with Jesus to keep growing. Please lift me up. Thank you, DAB family. I love you guys all. Thank you.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth from Delaware calling in, and I would like to ask your prayers for Henry, who's a dear friend, and she's been dealing with leukemia for 14 years, and she's been now given stem cells to fight off the last bit of leukemia in her body. So, Lord, you know the details of her and Henry's heart's desire to share kindness with the world. Lord, so we ask that you would destroy all the cancer in Henry's body, and as it says in Job's 10:12, you have granted Henry life and favor, and your providence has preserved her spirit. And it also says in Psalm 30, verse 7, by your favor, O Lord, you have established Henry, a strong mountain. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercies, while they are new every day. And also, dear prayer warriors, if you pray also for my son and for favor from God on his son and his wife, Michelle, who are expecting a baby girl any moment now, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this precious life, and may Brendan and Michelle give their hearts to you and become godly parents following Jesus. Lord, protect this child and keep her growing so that she will be born healthy and strong. And may, by your favor, O Lord, you have established Brendan and Michelle as a strong mountain, as it says in Psalms 5, verse 12. Please open Michelle's eyes and Brendan's eyes again to your love for them. And in Jesus' name, we give thanks and praise for your miraculous ways. Amen. Thank you, dear prayer warriors. I'm praying for you all in the background. I do appreciate your prayers. God loves us all, and it is an honor and a blessing to listen to you and lift you up. God bless you, and thank you for praying. Bye-bye.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. My name's Rob from the UK. I've been listening for years, and this is my first time calling in. And I just wanted to ask for prayers for my dear wife, who's been going through so many... she's had problems with cervical cancer cells that just kept growing. Unfortunately, the doctor caught them early. So she's been having sort of several LETS treatments, which took her out for just a few weeks, and then a major one, which took her out for about 6 weeks. And she's kept having to build her life back. This has been going on since 2014. And then we had a grace period where we had an all clear. So we had our daughter at that point, and we named her Grace. And we're so thankful to God for that. And then a few years later, they grew back, and the doctor advised to have a hysterectomy, which we did do. And that's a major operation, and that took her, it was a big recovery. It was a pretty awful time, actually, for us. And then we had a few years where we didn't have to have any checkups. And then she had one recently, and the cells had grown back, but the doctor thought that it was just because they'd missed them. So he removed those, and she's been in another recovery. And each time I can just, she's doing so amazing and fighting back. But we're all weary, you know, it's been a long, long time. We're young, we just want to be sort of done with this, and we're just praying for an all clear from this checkup that she had recently. Just an all clear so we can just breathe a sigh of relief and move on, and for these cells to never grow back. God's been doing a lot of work in our life, and we've been trying to work out what the source of it is. I just pray for him to have mercy on us and to have grace on us. And just to allow us to continue to grow and to help grow his kingdom. But yeah, prayers would be appreciated. And hopefully this is the end. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys.